City, the good news station.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. Flooding and tornadoes are a concern in Texas as Tropical Depression Bill moves north.
The National Weather Service is forecasting between 4 and 8 inches of rain with this system from Texas up to Missouri.
That was meteorologist Patrick Burke. Texas is still oversaturated from the storms last month that caused flooding in many areas across the state. The Justice Department held an investiture ceremony for Loretta Lynch. The new attorney general says equal justice under the law will be her guiding mission.
To the people of this great nation, I pledge to you that your protection, your liberties, and your rights will be my sacred charge.
President Obama says Lynch has already made strides in the 2 months she's been on the job.
She's already made her mark here at home and abroad because of her laser focus on the core mission of the Justice Department.
Justice Sotomayor did the second ceremonial swearing in. This is USA Headline News.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. Gatorsecurity.com.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
USA Christian News. The Reverend Russell Moore of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention says pastors need to trust God amid our changing culture.
Let's crucify our hand-wringing. Let's love God. Let's seek the kingdom. And don't fear our mission field.
Speaking in Columbus, Ohio, Reverend Moore said, all you have to do is look around at the site of the annual Baptist Convention to see how our culture has changed.
There were days when we would gather for this meeting and the signs all up and down the city streets would say, "Welcome Southern Baptists." Now, in the city, the signs up and down the streets talk about the Stonewall Gay Pride Festival.
He said God has placed the pastors in this society for a reason.
When we panic in fear, what we are saying to God is, I deserve a better mission field than the one that you have given to me.
For the USA Radio Network, I'm John Clement.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler, Pro Rodeo, and Horseman headquarters with an expanded women's department. Also an expanded boot department with Georgia, Justin, and Wolverine boots. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 650 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
Says the CNN comments are another example of liberal media spin.
Well, I think it's very duplicitous, you know, when they want to blame, I mean, the white man, for example, it's all about power and we're talking about Black Lives Matter. All right, well then suddenly, I tell you what, if everybody in America says, hey, you know what, if we can pull a racial Dolezal, we're all suddenly black. So now are we finally back to all lives matter?
I'm Jason Wirth.
And in the last few minutes, investigators announced Dolezal violated ethics rules while serving on a police oversight committee and may face charges. Congressional officials say the House will attempt as early as tomorrow to revive trade legislation sought by President Obama and blocked last week in a revolt by union-backed Democrats. The officials say the vote could come on a standalone measure that would allow Congress to approve or reject future global trade deals, but not change them. The Obama administration is seeking the authority as it works to wrap up the deal with the 11 Pacific Rim nations. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Are we on the air? Okay. So listen, just so you know, listeners, I got a lecture from Pastor Tom today when I came in. I've got to be nicer on the radio, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Be better. Be better.
And Mr. Vince Rosino, CPA, so you've got to be nicer.
I'm always nice.
And Dan Warren, independent insurance agent sitting over here.
I had no problem.
He's always nice.
You just stay just like you are.
That's right. I am happily married, so I'm well-trained.
Well-trained. Is that okay, Tom?
I guess so.
Okay.
Any man who's been married a long time has to be agreeable with his wife, in my opinion.
Dan, you know how long Vince has been married?
Long time.
I mean, 140 years.
And he's agreeable with his wife. How many times? Well, we're getting off subject here, but you got to be nice, Joe.
Got to be nice. This is the Team Martech.
Hey, you know what I told my son when he and his wife got married and I did like the toast? I said, the secret is to choose wisely and treat kindly. And I believe that.
Yes, dear. Okay. This is the Team Martech Hour. And we are going to be totally reverent today, because the Reverend Pastor Tom said...
You were irreverent.
I was irreverent, so I am no longer allowed to be irreverent. Is that fair?
Wouldn't that be your goal anyway?
It's my goal.
That should be your goal
now,
anyway.
Just so you folks know, one thing that we have always done with this show, which we've been doing these radio shows for a good 10, 12, 14 years, I don't know how long, but... We are a group of local professionals, and I mean very seriously, local professionals with many, many years of experience. And let me just say quickly, we have Vince Rosino here, a CPA, who's 140 years old in mileage.
Dog years?
Yeah, dog years. Actual age, Vince is pushing 60.
That's right.
So he's been a CPA for...
I've been pushing it for a long time. I'm being kind now.
I know. You're pushing. I didn't say... maybe we're dragging
he's
you.
He's dragging it.
I'm dragging 60.
Dragging 60. And he's a CPA and a forensic CPA with unbelievably strong credentials. But when Vince and I met 5 years ago, or whenever it was, the whole concept is our group, we want you to think it's like sitting at your kitchen table with family. Now, if you ever notice that you don't get to pick all your relatives?
I noticed that.
You noticed that.
But I get to avoid the ones I don't like usually, Joe.
But today, we're all sitting together as a family. You can't avoid you. You're here. And that's the whole concept of how we started putting this together. And the original team member, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, you know, we had actual clients call us up on the radio and say, you know what I like about you guys? You're like family. And he liked his family.
Well, you know what? I like that, because I don't want to come across as pretentious or use, you know, big jargon words that
exactly.
People don't understand. We're here primarily to be a service to the listener. I mean, that's our goal.
So what Dan just said is absolutely our goal. We happen to be very, very, very fortunate people. Everyone in our group happens to be a very fortunate person, very blessed. Life has been extremely good to us. But one of the things that happens is we are all monster believers in what goes around comes around. I mean, every time we can help somebody, it's good for us. I mean, literally, it's good for us. Not only good for your soul and your heart, but the belief is this. If you're dealing with people of integrity, every one of us, including Pastor Tom.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm trying, Tom. I'm trying. I really am. I've been given this lecture to make sure I stay serious most of the time, right?
You kept on track? No.
I'm keeping on track. So the concept was to put together a group of local professionals that were not new in business, because in my opinion, people that are sometimes new in business sometimes make mistakes.
Well, also here, you know, Joe, in Florida, you have people who wander in and wander out of all kinds of businesses.
There you go.
And sometimes... let's suppose you moved down here recently from the great north, and and you think that the person who you're dealing with has been here forever, and he's probably been here less time than you.
There you go.
Okay, so it's nice, especially in Florida, in my opinion, to deal with people who've been in their professions and hopefully own their own businesses
there
for
you
a
go.
Long time.
So that was the other part of the concept. When we started doing the radio shows, yeah, you have to understand, being a financial advisor, a stockbroker, you've got a bunch of clients that trust you with their money, and then they're going to ask you questions that you don't know the answers to. So I had to find a CPA that I could trust that had integrity, experience, wasn't too young. Boy, that was pretty easy to find. So I found Vince Rossino like 4 or 5 years ago, and I said, Vince, I've been looking for a CPA that I can work with that fits this envelope pretty well. Because Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, that was one of the first people, or maybe the first, if I'm remembering back, that I said, a common friend of ours, I said, look, and I'm starting these radio shows, and I need to have an independent insurance agent to be on the shows with me because clients ask me questions about insurance, and I don't want a captive agent. Because a captive agent has one company.
They're limited. I mean, but all the nice things you said about Vince, which I agreed to everything you said, Joe, but I'm going to be honest with you. If Vince was not able and competent, I don't care how nice he was, if he's not competent to do the job to serve my clientele, and I know that he's a forensic accountant, so right. That really puts him in a much higher, you know, arena of accountants. That's what really, you know, sort of drafted me closer to him was, hey, I feel comfortable here about recommending him. He's a nice guy, but if he wasn't good at what he did, we'd probably go out and have dinner and that'd be it.
No, we'd have right. to shoot him. I mean, you know, it's yeah, not yeah. a big deal. Yeah,
thank you, Dan. That's
no problem.
I mean, that's kind of you to say that.
But it is because, the truth.
Well, yes. It's nice to deal with people who are competent and also nice.
Well, you know?
Absolutely.
There that's, became, that's in that's putting this group together, you know, I'm not a young guy either. If you might remember, I'm
You're older than me, and I like that.
I know. Everybody likes it that I'm older than everybody.
But like my brother says, we're getting closer to you every year, Joe. You know,
because percentage-wise.
Percentage-wise.
My mother, hey, listen, my mother said that when I turned 50. You know, Joe, now you're one of us.
One of
I
us.
I said, gee, I feel so good, Mom. You know, 50, that was another one of these wonderful things, you know.
It's a milestone.
And that was yeah, millstones ago.
Hey, it won't be long. I'll be on Social Security with my mother. So, you know, things are getting,
getting very common.
That's right.
Yes. So, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, critical word, independent. Then you can be an independent and have one company. You can be an independent and be in business for 1 year. Well, Dan's only been in business 35 years, give or take, maybe 6 or 7 now, because I keep forgetting the years. They keep sliding.
Don't keep at. You add 1 year every 6 months, I think.
You're it's getting like old, 30. Dan.
Yes, I'm looking old.
And Dan, under his umbrella mileage. Of companies, has about 85 companies, not all home, not all business. But the bottom line is, in my opinion, Dan, if he's not the top agent on the Treasure Coast, he ranks in the top 10.
Well, you know, Joe, while you're saying that, and I rarely try to toot my own horn, hey, but I'm going to today.
He's going to right now.
I'm going to right now.
And this, is a good toot.
Because, you know, every year here on the Treasure Coast, they give the readers of the TC Palm and the newspapers the ability to vote for their favorite restaurants, their favorite accountants, all the places that they do. And there were 55,000 people that voted in this little pool, so it wasn't just a small smattering of people. We got the award as the number one insurance agency on the Treasure Coast in St. Lucie County. So, you know,
nice. They threw my vote out.
Dan. Yes, I have probably won almost every industry award for service and sales, but this has been the first time when I've actually had an award like this, and it was really gratifying to get it because it was something I wasn't expecting. I didn't even know, because you don't know who's voting for you by the phone.
And you don't get to put your own name in for contention. They just vote for who they want, and then they come back to it.
Congratulations.
That's
fantastic.
So independent became critical. Independent insurance agent became critical because if you're a captive agent and your captive company says, okay, we're getting rid of half your business, you have no choice. You're done.
And that's happened. If anybody out there is listening who's lived in South Florida for a long time and who own a home, they have probably experienced that very same thing, Joe, where all of a sudden the carrier says, hey, we're overexposed. We loved you when we had you for all these years, but it's time for us to part company, but you can keep your car insurance with us.
Yeah, right. And boy, I remember this when I had clients of mine that were with State Farm. State Farm's a magnificent company, but all of a sudden they were one that were lopping off a bunch of people. And boy, I remember word for word. And this guy's not unsophisticated. He said, Joe, I've been with that company for 30 years.
Yeah.
And that agent told me
we can't help my homeowners, but you can keep your car insurance. That's me. And he goes, uh-huh.
Well, right. You know, here was my problem.
It hurt, his feelings were hurt.
You know, but he was in good hands.
Yeah,
well, no, that was the other.
Maybe
company.
The good neighbor, but you know, here's the thing that I had a hard time with. That's right. When we were told that very same thing, yeah. I went to all the agent meetings and where we met with the companies, and right. they said, "Hey, we have to get rid of X policies to maintain our rating with right. AM Best Standard and Poor's." So my suggestion was, look. If you truly have to get rid of this number of companies, number of policies, which I understand, take the newest ones. Don't take the people that we've had for decades and decades who we've been telling, hey, listen, this matters. Longevity, loyalty, it matters.
Loyalty, right.
All of a sudden, it doesn't matter. And I said, well, why are you doing that? And they said, if we do it your way, Dan, we're going to be sued for discrimination. So this what I think America. They did is they took the older homes, the ones closest to the water. Why couldn't they have been sued over that? Isn't yeah, yeah. that discrimination against the houses
same
on the
thing.
Water?
Sure it is. Absolutely. Sure it is.
You know, the state, who's supposed to be
an advocate.
The advocate for the consumer, in right. my opinion now, failed in many of their obligations to protect the consumer.
Well, that's another whole show on it is. Our opinion
maybe
on
one
the,
day
politics,
we'll do that.
Of the politics of what goes mm-hmm. on. But so there came Dan. Next one was Greg Fasula, attorney. Had to have an attorney. Now, this is not necessarily a pretty picture, folks. You know, not everybody is hot on attorneys, but one of the first things I do when I meet a new suspect or prospect is ask him if they're ready to die. Which, if Greg was here, he'd say, Joe, you're not supposed to say it that way. You're supposed to say, have they done their estate planning? Now, we all know the word estate all of a sudden makes you look like you've got this 7,000 square foot house. But your estate can literally be a pack of gum.
It's whatever you have.
It's whatever you have. So estate planning means, have you done a will or a trust? So the game plan is, if you haven't, my buddy Dan would say?
Well, I say this all the time, is even if you haven't taken the time to drop a will, the state has one all ready to go. They're going to put, you're going to die intestate, which means no will. And they're going to draft and structure a will. They're going to hire an attorney. He's going to get paid. And your assets may not go where you wanted them to go.
Period.
And you may not have as much.
Well, you
go.
Definitely won't have as much.
By the time they're done with all that, believe you me, yeah. you and I both know.
Yeah, yeah. There's a number of discounting going on. Yeah. But you get a haircut on that.
Yeah. But estate. You know, Joe, a lot of people, I think, who listen to this program, I think they're very responsible. I think they try to do the right thing. And in many cases, if they've moved down from some other place, they've retired, and as many people do, they want to retire to beautiful South Florida. Now, let's suppose you did a will or a trust up north before you moved down here, brought it with you, it was done the way you wanted, it was done the way the attorney up north said you should do it, but that doesn't mean it's in compliance with Florida statute and law. If you have not reviewed it, and that's what I always tell
right,
people,
right.
hey, listen, go talk to Greg, he'll review it for you. If it's in compliance, happy day. But if it's not, he can tell you what it's going to cost you to get it in compliance, and that's so important to have.
Yeah, and Greg's not going to charge you to look at it and say it is or it is not. You know, and he'll tell you where the law is in the state of Florida.
Well, I had a client a couple of years ago. I sent to Greg, same thing, came from up north, wanted to get his will redone, and Greg asks him for a copy of his will, and he produces a photocopy
not
of his
the
will.
Original.
Not right. the original. And so Greg promptly told him, do you realize this is not legal here in Florida?
It's not going to fly.
Of course the guy
won't
did,
fly.
He didn't know that.
He didn't know it.
No.
And the original was sitting with some attorney up north who he presumed was dead because he did it many, many, many years
yeah,
prior.
Yeah, right.
So be careful when you
probably
move.
In his safe.
It's you, in his safe, but then if he passed, then what happens to
that's
the
right.
What happens?
No
to
one
stuff.
Knows.
By the way, if you want to give us a call, 1-888-221-8990, you can get involved in this conversation. 888-221-8990, because today we have Vince Rizzino, CPA, forensic CPA, and Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, and Joe Martek, financial advisor.
You know, Joe, one of the things that we discussed on our program earlier today was the transfer on death.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, you can use that to avoid certain things. And the biggest problem that the three of us have seen are people who really don't understand some of the rules, who say, hey, I'm going to put my children on my account
oh,
to avoid some problems instead of the transfer on death. You guys are a lot more knowledgeable than I am about that. Could you talk about
it
that?
It still remains in the estate, just simply because you add your child to it. That gives them writing, signature authority over the account.
Well, here comes the magic words, though. If you have a bank account and I add my child to that bank account as a co-owner,
right,
and that child gets sued in the state of Florida, my bank account's gone.
Could take it.
We yes. actually had a customer who called us
regularly
because he was looking for help to get his funds back.
Yeah.
Now, luckily, we were able to be of assistance to him, but you know, he had no idea because when he added his daughter,
yeah,
she was an officer of a company that went bankrupt, and they went at the attorney for the bankruptcy went after her assets, and lo and behold, he found this account and attached to it.
Yeah.
Well, it gets even worse than that because I had a situation, Joe probably even remembers this, where there were a couple of siblings, and only one sibling was on the account. And so, therefore, that account technically was not part of this trust that was set up.
Not sure. anymore,
and
right?
And all of a sudden, you know what really went haywire, and there's some litigation almost came about.
Well, all of us, I think, would agree that the number one thing that we have witnessed in our careers that have harmed the stability and, in many cases, the caring of families is the death of a mother or a father or both.
Mm-hmm.
And now, because the estate was not set up properly, the siblings are after each other. And in many cases, that does harm to them where they never speak again. So I'm just trying to tell the listeners that this is a gift you can give to your children if you haven't done, is do it properly, do it right.
Exactly, because if you don't, then you might be doing it innocently. You know, you add this one person because they live nearby.
Absolutely.
The one sibling, you know, the one a child lives near you.
And so I guarantee you, people out there who are listening, there are people out there who have done that very same thing, and they're going, what? What did he say? Maybe I better change that.
What we were saying earlier today was, in fact, I had a young man, because he's younger than me. Of course, everybody
we're
is.
We're all younger than you.
I know. Thank you so much. Anyway, he came in, and he had a good chunk of money, and had been in the bank. Banks earning nothing. And we ended up with an exchange-traded debt instrument with a monster utility that's going to pay him a little more than 5%. So he's happy with that. But he had a trust. And he said, okay, we can put this in the trust. But he says, they got people in the trust that I don't want them to get this. And I said, well, then you need to modify the trust. And he said, okay, well, I'll go to the attorney and I'll get that modified. And I said, now, the only have a minor side effect here. If you go to your attorney, he's going to charge you money. Nothing wrong with this if you modify your trust. But in the meantime, let's assume you drop dead today, mm-hmm. on the way home today. Let's do a TOD on this agreement.
Tell the listening audience what that
is. What is that TOD, Joe? Tell them.
That is time.
No.
No, that's not what it is.
That's not what it is. That is transfer on death, TOD, transfer on death. So literally I said, what we'll do on this account until we get the trust modified, which we then can transfer it to the trust, is we put a TOD agreement, transfer on death, and we name people to get the money. Right. And you can put 50% to this one, 50 to that, or 25, 25.
It's akin to beneficiary.
It's like a beneficiary, mm-hmm. same basic concept.
And you can go to any bank that you have your account at, Joe, from what I understand.
Yeah, do the
and
same
they
thing.
And they can do that for you.
And I tell mm-hmm. people that all the time. Walk into your bank with your checkbook, or your savings account, or your CDs, anything you've got, and say, hey, I want to do a TOD agreement. And let them get their paperwork out, and let them answer the questions, and fill out the paperwork, and sign it, and you're done. Now, what's that do? That means you drop dead that day, that asset, those assets do not have to go through the probate system, don't have to go through the court system, because they kids show up with a death certificate, they just say, fine, transfer on death to you, here's the death certificate, you get the money.
But they're not on the account today, so they can go in and take out your assets.
And the second thing is, not only can they not take the money out now, they also, if they get sued, you're not going to lose the money.
That is correct.
So the whole concept here is, now I have clients though that say, Joe, but look, at my kids do pay my bills, they need to be on the account. And I said, okay, how much money do you have in the bank? I've got $100,000. I said, here's what you do. You put a TOD on $95,000. And you put $5,000 in the checking account, and that's the one your child can write checks on. Okay. And then, as you need, you
transfer,
can add money to it.
Transfer.
You can transfer, mm-hmm. it. But you don't put a whole $100,000 in that account where the child can be sued.
Absolutely. That's good, sound advice, Joe.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So this is just little things.
Now, do you need a TOD if you have a joint account with someone?
Not necessarily. No. If you have a joint account with your spouse, your wife, you don't need a transfer in death, because if it's your account, it's her account. If it's her account, it's your account.
But let's say this, as in many cases from living here, let's suppose you're a widow. How many people do I have? I have hundreds and hundreds of widows that I insure who move down with their husband. the husband predeceased. They don't have a spouse to leave it to, so they think, oh, I'll do this with my kids. And in many cases, that's not the best decision.
Sometimes people have a trust and they have co-trustees, and their wife is a trustee, their children are trustees. They can all sign on the account.
Point is,
doesn't that take care of the same thing?
Not necessarily. Here's what happens. Let's take this trust for 1 minute, and I'm going to play attorney, and I'm not an attorney, but we go through this, Dan and I, Greg, all of us go through these conversations regularly. You have a trust, Tom, you and I, let's say we have a trust agreement, and we put assets into that trust agreement, pieces of real estate or whatever. We have a phone call coming?
Yes, we do, Joe.
Connie's going to yell out, do we have a phone call?
No, I have a phone call.
Oh, you have a phone call.
Oh, okay.
So what we do with this trust, the trust has trustees, meaning the trustee is the person that's allowed to buy, sell, do whatever it wants, because that's what it says in the trust. Then it normally will have a husband, let's say it's husband and wife. Normally what you do, if you like each other, you make each other either or can make a decision for the trust. Then you, one of you dies, the one left is the successor trustee, is the only one, and then we name more people in case both of you die, and normally people make their children. And sometimes they may name three in order. They may name children 1, 2, and 3 to be trustees in case something happens.
Right.
Okay. That then gives authority to that person to make decisions. But in the meantime, if that child gets sued and it's your trust, that money is not theirs. That money is not theirs until you're a dead person and they become the trustee of that trust. And then that trust is still not theirs. They are in charge of what happens, but if they get sued, that trust cannot be penetrated because it's not in their name. They're the trustee. Now
you should also consider like your a medical authority who has the right to sign if you're sick or they want to pull the plug. All those things should go hand in glove.
Yeah, you're also a durable power of attorney.
Absolutely.
Dan. That's also a part of that.
This week, I was visiting a client of mine in a rehab, and we were talking about that very specifically, the power of attorney, the healthcare surrogate, the living will. Living will says, hey, plug me in or don't plug me in. You give authority to say you don't need to keep me alive artificially. Healthcare surrogate is a critical thing. Now, when you're married, you think, hey, my wife will make decisions for me and I can make decisions for her. And that's true in the state of Florida. But what if you're only by yourself?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Who's going to make
the decision?
Who's going to make? So you should name, quote, a person to make that decision, whether, hey, should we operate on him or should we just go ahead and knock him off now?
Well, and what if the person who you name, because you, let's say you were responsible and did this, is now either incompetent or has predeceased you? You need to keep up with that stuff, Joe.
Yes, you do. And the second thing I normally do with all my clients when we go through this, and with Greg, with the attorney, is have a succession. If this person's not capable or
willing,
then we name another person.
Right.
So, you know,
you select is very key too, Joe, because sometimes you don't want somebody too close. You want an independent third party, somebody who's maybe a close friend or a distant relative, nobody who's in the immediate family.
Oh, yeah.
I can tell you in my own personal case, when my in-laws had some health issues, originally my sister-in-law, who was Nancy's older sister, was batter number one. And she said, I have some health issues and I can't take care of them. So my wife became batter number one,
right?
And we took care of them until they passed.
Right, right.
So, I mean, you can make some changes, but like I was saying earlier, sometimes the people who you anticipate being able to are not able to.
Yeah. They're not able to. Well, a lot of times, let's say you're 60 and you set this up and you name other people that are 60 to be the successor trustees.
Choose your healthier friends.
And then all of a sudden, you're 80 and the people that were
60
are now 80 or dead or not competent.
Yeah.
And these things need to be paid attention to.
Absolutely.
And also, Joe, even with the case of children, you know, because once your children have children, your grandchildren, they have to decide if something happens to them, who's the person who's going to be the guardian or custodian of the children. There's so many things you need to think about beyond the everyday we're
living.
And
some people who say, I don't have a big estate.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. That's all relevant because I can tell you, however small it is, the state's going to take part of it if you do nothing.
The key is this. There's many, many little things that you think are never going to happen to you. It always happens to somebody else until it happens to you. So one of the things that we do as a group, we kind of stir the pot just a little bit and try to put you on the right track. And we're not looking to, you know, I'm talking about Greg Fasulo, attorney. You talk to Greg. He's not going to charge you a nickel to talk to him. And then once he understands what you want, then he'll tell you how much he's going to charge you. And to put it mildly, Greg is probably the fairest attorney I have ever met in my entire life.
Well, you know, I've listened to him, and usually what his answer is to you, he'll say, Joe, it depends on the complexity right. of the case.
Yeah, he hates it when I quote his prices for
exactly.
him. Exactly. But, you know, and the truth is, if he puts 100 hours in, that's a lot more work than putting in 5 hours.
Yeah. Well, the key is, you said it, is reasonable.
Absolutely.
And if he's reasonable with his fees, that's
right.
all people want to, they want to feel that you're not taking
but
advantage.
But if you do nothing, you know, the example we give a lot of times, is let's suppose you have $1 million probatable estate,
right?
And that could be, you know, an IRA in a nice house that's gone up in value.
All kinds
sometimes of people don't realize how big their estate has become.
Yeah.
And okay. it could cost you $30,000.
Well, I was going to say it's 3% if you do nothing, the state's going to
yeah,
probably.
If Greg was here, I would pick on him about
30
that.
Grand, exactly. Yeah, 30 grand, exactly. That's a lot to lose.
And if you'd have had a will or a trust set up properly, that's gone. You don't have to do that. I always joke with Greg if he was sitting here about it's me and my dad and Greg, are you going to charge my dad me double because it's your dad, my dad, you know. But the key is this. One of our jobs we look at as a group, and it's every one of us, is, hey, if we can help you get on the right track and not pay much to do it, hallelujah. 1-888-221-8990.
A lot of people have false sense of security too, Joe.
Oh.
I mean, they think, for example, that, well, why do I need a trust? I mean, it's just me and my wife.
Yeah.
If something happens to her, I'll get everything. If
right.
it happens to me, she'll get
well,
everything.
Well, those are those I love you
I
wills.
I love you wills.
And the government loves that.
Yeah, except what happens if you both go simultaneously?
Yeah. Yeah.
What happens?
Well, you know, just as a quick example, I had a client, husband and wife. They had a trust, but they were very private. Now, normally, when I get a client and they're trusting me with their money, I said, I want to get a copy of your trust so I can go through it just to make sure that everything is where it's supposed to be. Not that I'm 100%, but I don't charge for that. I just wanted to take a look at it because I know the things I should look for. So they said, no, Joe, we're okay. So by and by, he dies. So they have a house. And his wife calls up and said, hey, my husband died, and I need to have the house put in the trust because the attorney that did the trust did not put the house in the trust and said, when one of you dies, come on back and I'll put the house in the trust. So
right.
Greg was sitting here that day, and Dan and I both said, gee, Greg,
why did that?
Why'd that attorney? Greg says, I don't know.
Give him another shot at the, or bite at the apple, as
and,
they say.
And then yeah. Dan and I said, well, we sure know what it is. It's called money.
In our opinion, it's to give you another bill.
So there I said go. To the client, I said, look, I'll take you down to the courthouse. We'll put the house in the trust. You buy me lunch. It's a lot cheaper than what the attorney's going to charge you. So we go to the courthouse, show her the deed, her name, put the house in the trust, and they said, well, we can put your half in the trust, but not your deceased husband's. Mm-hmm. Because the house was
not
deeded
right.
not right. as husband and wife.
Oh, and how many people do you think listening don't even know that?
They don't know that.
I would never know that. I'm married. I would assume. Now, isn't that word assume get you in trouble?
Yeah,
you
it know, has it gotten does. Me in trouble once or twice.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So the concept is very simple. If your deed on your house, even though you're married, doesn't say HW, husband and wife, spouse, somewhere it references.
A
because
married couple?
It could
something,
be,
yeah.
You
it,
need to get it fixed.
It could
you
be Vince and I own a house together, right? We're partners. No. He's not very cute, but bottom line is we bought this piece of investment real estate and we are now partners. Now, if we don't have on that deed anything except our names, I die, my half goes to my estate. You die, your half
becomes a tenant in common, really, is what it becomes. It's two half interests. In
two half interests.
Well, you know, we do a lot of that with businesses. When you got business partners,
yeah, sure.
We'll do a buy and sell agreement.
Yeah.
And let's suppose. Let's look at it logically. They're going to go to Vince and say, hey, how can you help us come up with the value on this buy and sell agreement? So you sit down, look at all their assets and say, hey, it's worth $1 million. So you each have $500,000 worth of interest. If you don't fund it, but you've already established the value,
right.
Mm-hmm. Now partner A dies,
yep.
Partner B is going to look to partner A's estate for his $500,000.
Exactly. Yeah. And they don't have the money.
And they don't have the money.
It. That's where life insurance comes in.
Well, that's how we fund the buy and sell.
Exactly.
There's a lot of things to consider in this world that the 99% of us don't think of when we're starting a business. And one of the things that when we look at Vince, I mean, we've had a few times in the last year or two where somebody says, hey, I want to buy a business. What do I do? Mm-hmm. And I said, the first thing we do is talk to Vince. You show him the profit and loss, the paperwork, because the average person doesn't look at these things ever. I mean, let alone understand them. But a CPA, that's what their training is all about. So person walks in to see Vince and says, hey, the guy wants $1 million for the business, and here's what he's showing me. And Vince says,
That's a bankruptcy waiting to happen.
Once and, of course, the sellers, they're thinking pie in the sky.
Well, let's face it. The seller might have a lot of sweat equity and not taking any money out.
Yeah.
So the books look, you know, great.
Yep.
But you got to live, too.
There's absolutely. And besides that, just getting a valuation for the business is step one. Half of it is lost in the details of the agreement itself.
Because
I'm going through that now with a client that's selling
his
business.
Tell you how many businesses, primarily restaurants, that I've gone into where there's now a new owner, and all of a sudden I see a 15 or 20% creep up on all their prices, and I assume, and in my own jaded way, it's designed to pick up the note they owe.
Probably, I wouldn't doubt it. But how you structure the deal is also as important as determining the value.
Of course.
How you structure it, how you assign values to the asset you buy, whether you do a stock deal or if you do an asset deal.
Goodwill.
And again,
there's more things.
All those things come into the picture.
Goodwill is vague. How much goodwill is it really?
Yeah. Well, the IRS defines that for us, and they have a formula for doing that based on assignment of value to certain assets, and what's left is the residual method.
Yeah.
But yes, it's a complicated area, but I say if you're going to do that, you're either buying or selling, you should seek a professional's help. You got to seek a professional's help.
Get that out of the way.
Yeah, you got to spend a couple of dollars to do that.
Yeah, but you know it's cheaper.
It's cheaper in the long run.
Much. 1-888-221-8990. Now, what I did not mention, the last two members of the group, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart. Understand what we've done, the whole concept of our group is to try to cover most of the areas that affect 90% of the people out there. So, they're after your time?
I didn't do it.
And didn't have to,
not yet.
One, so we try to put together this group to cover these different areas. Real estate's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, buying and selling a house, buying and selling a business, buying and selling commercial real estate. You need to have somebody competent that you can trust.
And don't forget, Joe, when we first brought Victoria on, the real estate market was in a shambles.
Absolutely.
We had repossessions, short sales, all these things that were going on. People who bought houses when the market was extremely high, who had an emotional attachment to those houses. And she was a top-notch professional who could help them weed through all those little problems and make good decisions.
Some of those problems weren't too little. You hit the word short sale. Mm-hmm. That was one of the monster headaches. And this girl she's not shy. That's one. Two, she's cute. That helps her a lot because she barges her way in and gets things done, where I think if you and I did events, they'd trip us on the way in or out. You know.
But she's also competent, Joe.
Critical,
very, critical. Very competent.
She's only been in real estate since 1980.
That's right, and she's only 30 years
only
old.
Only 30. It's tough to do, but she's...
Child labor law.
She managed to pull it off. Then we have Mr. Mike Powis, mortgage broker. 25 years in business, 24, 23, whatever it is. He's weathered the storms in the mortgage business. Hand in glove with Victoria. People want to go buy a house. We get this all the time. Say, hey, the first thing that we recommend, you call up a mortgage broker like Mike and have him check out and find out what you can afford, if you can afford, and when you can afford. He'll do this over the phone, doesn't charge you a nickel. So if you go into a bank and try to get it, it might take you 30 days to find out you're going to get turned down.
Well, you know what I like, Joe, is that let's suppose your credit is not perfect.
Right.
But there's some minor little things that if you tweak it a little bit, you could get a better rate or better terms. He's able to say, hey, listen, now may not be the best time to get this mortgage. Why don't you wait about 6 months and do the following things, and then I can really bring that loan to value better.
One of the things he has is a piece of software that he plugs in these variables, and they come back with a date and a new score based on the same.
If you do the following thing.
So
there's, I've been in business a long time, Joe. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
I have not met anybody with the capability of Mike and his depth of knowledge and able to explain things.
Yeah.
He's really
that's why we got him
superb
with
in the field.
We felt,
it sounds self-serving. He's
way.
Part of our
well,
group, but I can just tell you from personal experience.
Back again, we've all been around a long time, and we've met many people in all of these different fields, and not everybody is what I call user friendly, let alone competent.
Mm-hmm.
So Our main thing was to find people that were competent, experienced, and honest. Let's find people with integrity so that, hey, if I, there's no doubt about it. I can say to any one of my clients, go to Dan, go to Greg, go to Vince, go to any one of these people, they are only going to be treated properly, period.
You know what you have also in this team, Joe, is you have a depth of resource here. There are people here with a lot of years of experience in different specialties, as they call it, and specialties, as some other people call it. But we do have a depth of experience here.
Yeah, so, I know a lot of people run these commercials and say, we got 7,000 years worth of experience between us, and Joe's got 6,000 of it.
That's true. Joe does. He's got the most.
I'm the oldest, right?
You know, and I know it's sort of like off to the side here, but, you know, living down here in the South, I have always felt I had what has been jokingly called the good old boy network.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know lots and lots of people that, that do lots and lots of things, and I know who not to go to.
Yeah, absolutely.
And who to go to. And it's very helpful to me when I'm dealing with my customers on certain things to be able to say, oh, you're needing this? Here's where you want to go.
Yep.
But for me to say that, Joe, takes years before I feel comfortable.
You got to get trust.
But you can't do that. You can't do it overnight.
Well, my dad used to say, wisdom is an accumulation of mistakes.
Other people.
Yours or somebody else's.
Combination.
Your own, too.
Every father told their son, hey, listen, learn from my mistakes.
Yeah.
Well, not that we all did, but the point is, all of a sudden, we're the ones preaching that to our kids or grandkids. But, you know,
there's truth in that,
Joe. And that's what it is. 1-888-221-8990. If by chance you don't want to talk to us on the radio, you can call the radio station and either Connie or Pastor Tom will take your name and number and have us call you back. And not everybody is brave enough to get on the radio and talk to us, but we really do appreciate you calling in.
Well, you know what I like about when the listeners do call?
Yeah.
Chances are whoever has that question, there's 100 other listeners with that same question.
Absolutely.
You know, my favorite one was when we had a phone call one day on the radio here, and I don't think old Blondie over here was here that day, because the person called in and says, you know, I want to say something about you guys that I really appreciate. I've got this horse ranch out west here, and a week or so ago, I see this white-headed old man. rolling around taking pictures. So I went up to him.
It was a woman. She didn't say that.
She did too.
Apparently she couldn't see this old white guy. He's not white-headed.
She couldn't see that far.
That's pretty white-headed to me.
It's pretty white.
Anyway, it's pretty white-headed. Is that what you call high gray?
This is white.
This is, no, that's gray. So she called him gray-headed, I think. Anyway, old man. I like that. The like part I like.
The old man stuff.
So she said, and she was a sweet character. And she said, well, I walked up to him and she said, who are you? And he goes, I'm Dan Warren, you know, the agent you asked me to do this. And she goes, what are you doing here? And he says, hey, I'm going to turn this into my company and I want them to know what you've got. So she spent, I think, an hour with you showing me
everything.
Yeah, yeah. And then the reason she called after this old man with the white head to get this done, she goes, and I'm going to tell you right now, Dan saved me $2,000 a year.
Right.
And that was
well, you know what's nice is this. That's an unusual. The equestrian risk is unusual.
Right.
You know, they're not inside the box that most companies want. So to sell it properly, you have to go out there, look at it, see what the exposures are, what they have. And then I always say this, the hardest sale is never to the client.
Yeah.
It's always to the company.
Yep.
If that's done properly and they price it properly, now I can get you the product that you need.
There you go. So that was just one of my most
favorite. That was a very nice phone call.
Well, you know,
the first part of it was my favorite part.
The old man.
White hair.
This white haired guy.
First of all, I thought it was Pastor Tom because he really looked old. but it wasn't.
That's because I am.
I know. 1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. And as I said just a few minutes ago, if you don't want to talk to us on the radio, you can call the station anytime. Talk to Pastor Tom or Connie. They will give you our name and number or take your name and number and have us call you back. And any way we can help people, that's what we do.
Well, you know, Joe, we've always said our goal was to either make money or save money for the people who we do business with.
Just that
simple.
That's
a good goal.
Just that simple.
That's absolutely right.
Yep. Which kind of leads me into money.
Money.
Can you believe money is a subject? And this happens regularly. You know, Tom, I know you've got millions of dollars sitting in the bank making that making that big interest.
Wait a minute, let me get all the, off the floor here. Wait.
Yeah, I know. And when, you know, one of the frustrations a lot of people have when especially if they retire or even work, and it doesn't make any difference, they put their money in the bank and they think they're going to earn something on it.
Well, you know, we used to earn something on it.
Yeah.
They used to give us toasters and gifts when we opened up accounts. Right. You know,
in 1985, you got something up front. Got a 25-inch color TV
for opening
up an account.
Wow. Today, what they do, they pay you such a low interest rate with inflation.
Right.
They're actually charging you to put your money in their bank.
That's technically, right.
You're losing money. Yes. Putting it in
so
the
you're going to get a half or a quarter or maybe a whole 1%. And if you might get almost up to 2 if you tie it up for 5 years
forever,
or something.
No, forever.
In a CD. So people say, hey, Joe, I'm in trouble. I've got this X number of dollars, and I'd like to get something on it because to supplement my income.
Because if you don't, Joe, what's going to happen? You have to deplete your money to maintain your standard.
Well, they
living.
Always say
your buying power is shrinking.
One of the biggest,
you don't get enough.
Well, even
yield.
If they tell you, oh, there's no inflation. When's the last time you bought gas, food. Pharmaceuticals?
How about eggs?
There's no inflation.
Just tripled
me,
in
that's
price.
Not true.
No, it's not true. Not true.
But the key thing is, one of the things when I talked to, and this just happened to me last week, I said, listen, there's 30,000 different investments. We can go from all the way down to the right, all the way out to the left, and just line them all up. No such thing as any single one person knowing about all of them.
In your opinion.
In my opinion. So, thank you, Dan.
You're
covering me here. Anyway, so the concept is, I said, you know, it's called risk. Are you going to be satisfied making 5%? He says, yeah, 5% would be great. And I said, okay, here's what we want to do. We have exchange-traded debt. Debt instrument means you're not in common stock. Common stock means you own the company. But if I borrow money from Dan, Dan loans me $1,000, and I sign a note, and I agree to pay him interest on that money, and he collects the interest, and then at some point, I pay him back the $1,000. That's a note.
That's a note.
So big companies, and when you buy a house, you sign a note. When you buy a car, you sign a note. In fact, a lot of people says they got notes that they're making payments on, and that's exactly what you've got.
Yeah.
So literally some
get
big,
a few
big
notes, and you've got a melody.
Very good, right? You know, don't quit your day job, you know. Anyway, so Tom, are we doing okay today?
So far.
We got our critic over here. He's trying to stay awake, and he's holding his chin. He's nodding off on us. But so the concept of this is it's a debt instrument rather than common stock, and we've got clients that are taking 5%, and the money's liquid, so they can cash it in anytime they want.
That sounds good, Joe. But let's suppose I ask you, do you get paid?
Of course. It's funny you should say that.
Funny you should ask that question.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, I want to know. How much do you get?
Okay, now it depends how much money
I'm curious.
Okay, if you give me $10 million.
I give you a million.
Inquiring mind.
First, if you give me a million, I like you.
I would like me too.
Right. Basically, I charge 2-2.5%, depending on how much money
you put. So it has a declining scale.
Yeah. So literally, the more you put in, the less I'm going to charge. It's like the same amount of work,
oftentimes,
depending on how much. So
you add a couple of zeros, it's not much more work, right?
That's it.
What if you sell it? Do you charge me again? Do you churn me?
I don't charge you a commission when you sell. But
I like that.
I like that. See, the word churn is an industry word, meaning it's not good.
Not good for the customer.
Not good for the customer. So I don't charge a commission when you sell. And the concept is, this is oftentimes short-term money because these things have what they call rights, whereas the people that are paying you this interest can say, okay, fine. At some point, we're going to say, take your money back. We have the opportunity to do that. We have the ability to say, take your money and leave. Now, the ones I do today, the call dates are in 2018, 2019.
You know what caught my attention, Joe, was this. You said, if I'm not mistaken, they get paid quarterly.
Right.
How soon do they have to have the money in to get paid quarterly?
Do you ever notice how Dan sets me up?
He sets you up right. Those softballs are unbelievable.
He's really good. But you see, we already did one show earlier today.
That's what it was.
So I left my thing in at home.
But nevertheless, it's interesting, and people in the listenership.
Well, to me, it's an interesting concept. Like, you don't have to have your money in for a whole year to start getting paid.
See, what happens is,
well, there are no free lunches.
Well, here's one that's interesting. One of my favorite ones is paying interest on the 15th of July, and all you have to do is own it by the 1st of July to collect 3 months worth of interest.
Right.
Now, I've often
said, how long do you have to keep it in after you collect the interest?
You don't.
You don't.
You can sell it the next day.
But Joe, doesn't the share price reflect the interest that is being given up?
the exchange traded debt instruments are not the same as common stock, which very often will definitely ride a roller coaster.
Right.
These have a minor window. Now the share price might be, let's say, 20 cents higher just the day before they declare, and it might be 20 cents lower after that, but they are not as dramatic as regular common stock.
Here,
but,
you know, in my little business mind here, I'm thinking, okay, I got to pay Joe 2 points.
Right.
So if it's going to pay me a point and a half that quarter, I need to stick around for at least 3 quarters, but I'll be way ahead of the bank on an annual basis.
You'll be way ahead of the bank.
So that's the way I look at it.
You don't want to get into this thing and with the plan of getting out next week. You know, no. Now that it's just the wrong way
but
to go.
But if you stay 3 quarters to a year, you're way ahead.
You're way ahead. But on the other hand, if you need the money for whatever the purpose might be, like I got a client just today, they ended up taking a big chunk of money out because they got a deal on a house.
Yeah. But you know, to get the best deal at the bank on what the bank offers, they usually have some time ramifications.
Oh, absolutely.
And some penalties if you get out early.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's not that much different.
No.
But the return from what you've just said
right.
is double and triple sometimes what the bank gets.
Well, the other side of the coin is, too, immediately you start getting income off of it if you want it. You can take these checks every 3 months. So, literally, you don't have to sit there and wait a year to start getting income. So, it's a very nice thing for short-term money when people are looking for it. And what the people say, well, Joe, what happens in 2018 or 19 when they call it? And I say, well, guess what? You got your money. Now, plan B, we have to look at something else. Nobody can sit here and predict. I like that one commercial on TV, I don't know if you ever saw it, where the guy is doing an interview with one of the biggest economists in the whole world, and guy comes out and looks at the economist and he says, can you tell us what interest rates are going to be next year? And the economist goes, no.
Nope.
it was the end of it. It was boom. Nope. Just nope. Boom. And you don't know. But we do the best we can to find what we can.
Well, you have to be flexible in your investment plan.
There you go.
You know,
and you have to be diversified too, Joe. You got to protect yourself.
Let's suppose
too.
I didn't want that. Is there like a product that I could say, hey, Joe, here's my money. I don't want to go up or down. I just want to get paid X. Can you handle that?
Maybe.
What would you offer?
I'm not sure, Dan, like because my compliance people may not let me talk about
that. Oh, okay.
But there are other things we can
like
do.
If you want to lock it in, you know, till you die.
There's lots and lots and lots of different ways we can go. We have things that guarantee income. The companies guarantee
like a guaranteed annuity or something.
Yeah, I like that product. You don't talk about that. Yeah.
Well, see, I always thought it was sort of like buying a pension.
Tom, would you tell them that we have other listeners besides listeners?
Yes, we do.
Hey, speaking of which, there are other investments too. I like high dividend paying stocks. Dividend paying stocks can pay 10 to 15% dividend. Okay, people say, well, is there risk? Well, of course there is. Well, what do you do to protect it? Well, what we can do is put in what's called a stop.
It says if you lost enough, you get out.
Well, you can put a number in and say if it goes down to that magic number, it automatically cashes in. And we agree to that up front, and we can put that in when the computer automatically would do it. But in the meantime, what we try aggressively is to stay away from companies that might have potential problems. There's no guarantee.
The flip side of that, Joe, do you ever recommend it the other way too? I mean, if you go high at a certain level of growth,
yep.
That you would recommend selling it out?
Just a couple months ago, what I say to everybody, okay, fine, let's just say this pays 3% dividend every 3 months. That's 12% a year. That's a nice, nice, nice dividend. And I said, but what happens if all of a sudden the share price goes up by 8%? Would you mind if I sold it and you made 8% in that 3 months rather than 3%? And the people go, well, that's really a hard one, Joe. Would I mind making 8 rather than 3? Well, that's a tough one.
I take
you know what generally influences people? It's called greed.
Well,
because you see it going up to 8% and you think it's going to continue to go up.
One of the things.
So you're like reluctant. Maybe I don't want to get out at 8. Maybe it's going to go to 15.
And sometimes people do. But see, what I do is I have a history chart and I'll show the roller coaster. And we'll show this roller coaster
and
how
it shows the highs and the lows.
It'll show what they were. And the spreads can be sometimes 8 or 10. And I just make an agreement with you as the client. What is the number you'd be happy with? And if you say, hey, if it's 10%, I'd be happy if you sold it, not 8. Okay, fine. I can put that
in. But wouldn't those technicals also help you not just sell, but buy on a low side?
The concept is, if that roller coaster goes up real high and you sell, then you wait for an entry point to get back in. So the whole concept is, I can't guarantee it's going to happen, but we've had it happen twice in the last year.
And you track 15, 20, 50 stocks. There's usually one reaching a high and maybe one reaching a low, and you transfer your money back and forth.
You see that? See how that works?
That is a very good strategy.
Well, anyway, it's been extremely good for us on most occasions. But again, you can't sit here and guarantee it. But understand this. If you get a high dividend paying stock that's paying 12% and all you do is make 12%, oh boy.
You know what they say. There's only a couple of things guaranteed in life.
Yeah, so death.
Death and taxes.
And taxes. And taxes. Yes, yeah. Right. And Pastor Tom.
Subject to both.
And the
subject
rest, the rest both. Is subject to how much risk you want to take.
There you go.
Versus your risk tolerance.
Now you want to get into some higher risk.
I don't want to take any risk and get rich.
Exactly. No.
Yeah, so yeah. I have to work all my life.
Exactly.
The concept is too. Now, I've had clients that start off and say, okay, Joe, I want this. No, we'll just take this 5%. And then after a little bit of time, they say, hey, do you still have that other stuff? What if I take a portion of this and put it over there? I said, that's up to you. You know, it's entirely up to you. Back again to risk tolerance.
Isn't that smart diversification sometimes to do things like
diversifying
that?
Diversifying is always smart. You know, the concept is this, though. It's very, you know, that's why there's different type of investments that do that automatically for you. But let's leave that subject go for today.
For another night.
You know,
can we bring up one real short question? How do you feel about those clients that have money versus those that have mortgages? And say they've got a 4 or 5% mortgage. And they got money that they could either pay down the mortgage or invest it somewhere else.
Would that be a tax question, maybe?
No, it's an investment question. In my opinion,
honestly, every time I've ever sat down and we found their tax rate and found out if it was to their benefit to have a mortgage or not, it's never been to their benefit to have a mortgage. No. I don't care what, because if you're in a 36% tax bracket, you're only not paying tax on 36% of that interest factor. Okay. You're still paying 60-some percent out that you don't have to pay, and it's hard to make 60-some percent on your money.
Some of your colleagues, Joe, didn't think that way in the past several years.
I hear it all the time. You should have a mortgage to save money. I says, hey, sit with your CPA and have them figure it both ways for you.
Yeah.
Have them figure it
Especially
both ways.
Especially here in Florida.
Yeah. I've never...
Sometimes there's no benefit to having that mortgage.
Personally, Vince, I have never seen it a benefit to people on your own residential home. Now, if you have investment properties that you're depreciating and you're doing, you got a different story, but not on your primary residence. Personally, I have never seen it one time, and I've sat with CPAs like you and gone through and run these numbers, and I've never seen it work. But
that's sort of the way. I mean, I've changed my opinion on that over the years.
Yeah, yeah, because I know what you get preached, but when you do the numbers and you sit down and look at what the real numbers are, and I said, then on top of that, your stomach feels better.
Yeah. And if you take that money and you invest it, you're paying the mortgage, you'd be surprised how much further ahead you might be.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, we're almost out of time. 1-888-221-8990. You call the station anytime. 1-888-221-8990. And should we say goodbye, Pastor Tom? He's waving his hand at us. That means
he's
4 seconds, 3, 2, goodbye.
You've been listening to the Team Martech program. The Team Martech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-229-0114.
This is WCNO